everyone. Well, thank you for being here tonight. Appreciate Mr. Hepp and his attempt to uphold the position which he has taken. And, of course, the proposition, which is on the screen to my left. The Scriptures teach that Christians today can receive Holy Spirit baptism like the apostles and other first century Christians did. Mr. Hepp is signed to affirm that proposition tonight, and I am here to deny that proposition. And he presented a lot of passages, so we're going to get right into it. First, I want to deal with the questions that Mr. Hepp asked me. Number one, can you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost before being water baptized? Now, first of all, in relationship to Acts 2 and verse 38, we'll talk about this in just a moment. That particular gift of the Holy Spirit is received when? When one repents and is baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That is something that is promised to him. Therefore, it is not the same gift of Acts chapter 10. We'll prove that in just a few moments. Number two, what does the word born mean in water and born of water? What does the word born mean in born of water? Bruce, go to chart number 61. Chart 61. What does the word born mean? Let me just say this very plainly. It does not mean baptized. The word born does not mean baptized. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, one birth. This occurs in water baptism when by faith one obeys the instructions of the Holy Spirit through the Word to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of his sins. We'll talk about that a little bit more in just a moment. Number three, would faith, repentance, water baptism, and spirit baptism all be a principal part of the basic doctrine of Christ? The basic doctrine of Christ consists of these things. Number one, facts to believe. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. I believe all of those facts with all of my heart, as I've stated. Number two, commands. That is, to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. To repent, of course, prior to that. To confess my faith in the Lord prior to baptism. And do all of this by faith. These things are commands of the Lord that must be obeyed. And then I must continue to serve the Lord in accordance with His instructions. We have commands that we must follow. Blessings to be enjoined. The blessings, of course, of salvation that is given to us. The promise of eternal life in Christ Jesus. These are the basic foundational blocks of the gospel. Now, I think I know where he's going with this question, and I hope he does. We'll go there with him when he does. Number four, does the Spirit that makes intercession for the saints dwell in you? Yes. Go to chart 179, Bruce. 179. The word or expression, phrase, dwell in, here it is in the Greek. Now, what this term means, it means to inhabit, figurative, to dwell in. And we read of God indwelling the Christian, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, Colossians 3 and verse 16, faith, 2 Timothy 1, 5, sin, Romans 7, 17. What this expression simply means is that this is the influencing principle in my life due to the relationship that exists. It is a relationship. It is not that I am incarnate with the deity. That is not what that means. It does not mean incarnation. It means a relationship. Chart 180, Bruce, next chart. Notice something else here regarding this particular expression. The Father dwells in me, and get this, this is the big part. I dwell in Him. It's a relationship. Jesus dwells in me, and I dwell in Him. John chapter 15, verses 2 through 5, you can read that. The Holy Spirit dwells in me, and I dwell in Him. Romans 8 and verse 9. A metaphorical expression denoting a close and personal relationship. That's the meaning of that particular expression. Number five, is Jesus Christ come to dwell inside the flesh of His church like He did in the days of old? Well, first of all, let's understand that this is not scriptural language, Jesus coming to dwell in the flesh of His church. Go to chart 204, Bruce. 204. Chart 204. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. You know, I want you to take this passage up and explain it to us, Mr. Hepp, in your next speech. Will you do that? That's chart 204. We'll put the chart back up there if you want us to, and you can read it right off the chart. All right. Let me get to my questions that I asked Mr. Hepp. Number one, is there a possibility that you could be wrong? That's chart 209, Bruce. 209. Is there a possibility that you could be wrong in your understanding of Holy Spirit baptism? He said there were some things that he could be wrong about, but he could not be wrong in the fact that it exists today. Now, he gave us a lot of passages. We're going to explain as many of those passages as we possibly can this afternoon. And I want to deal with those, but at the same time, his chief reason, ladies and gentlemen, and he said it twice in his speech, his number one reason why he knew that it was for us today is because he what? Experienced it. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. We need, instead of emotion-based truth, we need truth-based emotion. Truth is important here. It's not based upon what I feel, what I've experienced. Bruce, if you will, blank the screen out for just a minute. I've got some other things I want to deal with before I deal with the rest of these questions in relationship to this question. Now, if you are aligned with Mr. Hepp here tonight, I don't want you to close your Bibles. I don't want you to close them. I want you to follow along with me. I want to say something. Mr. Hepp, on Monday and Tuesday night, you recognized, in fact, you made a comment regarding it, you heard people following along, turning those pages in their Bibles, didn't you? You heard that. You heard members of the body of Christ, the Church of Christ, following along in their Bibles. They were reading and following along. That's what I want everybody to do. And if you're aligned with Mr. Hepp, I don't want you to close your Bibles like I heard some was doing. When I got up to speak, you closed your Bibles and you didn't listen. I want you to open your Bibles, and I want you to listen to what I have to say because this is very important. You follow along with what the Bible says as we go through these things tonight. Don't you close your Bibles. Go to number 8. Chart number 8, Bruce. Chart number 8. The Bible says, number 8, a fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. Friend, we cannot base our religion on what we feel or what we've experienced. We must base our beliefs, our spiritual life, upon the Word of God. Notice what Psalms 119 and verse 104 says, through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. An understanding heart is what we need to be here about. And that is to open our Bibles and study along with one another. Bruce, go back to the question chart number 209. 209. There's an audio quote there. If you would, go ahead and play that for us. Chart 209.
If you already believe in the Holy Ghost and you already have been healed and know and believe in healing and stuff like that, it might not be an interesting thing to you because, I mean, there's no sense in trying to prove in the scriptures where an individual, that God does heal individuals if you already believe that. But there's a lot of you out there that don't know that God is a healer, that don't know that you can be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with and the times is the Spirit of God give that in others. And if you are one of them that does not believe these things, I encourage you to come. I encourage you, if you don't believe in the Spirit of God, if you've been taught, if your preacher that told you that miracles cease back in the first century, if your preacher has taught you that the Holy Spirit baptism and the speaking in tongues is not for today, we are going to bring biblical proof through the Word of God that these things...
Stopped on us. You got enough of it, though, didn't you? Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something right now. We've run ads in the newspaper, and we've spent thousands of dollars running ads in the newspaper, inviting everybody to come. I don't care what your belief is. We have invited people. We've sent flyers out to every church of Christ in this area, inviting people to come. We want every one of our members. You know what we're interested in? We're interested in what the Word of God says. We're interested in truth. We want to study, Mr. Hepp. How many Pentecostals are here tonight? There are a few. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to know what the truth is. That's why we're here, and that's why you heard those Bibles flipping. We study. We examine the Word of God. We examine the Scriptures, and we're searching for the truth. I hope everyone here tonight is here for that very purpose. And I said Monday night, did I not say this? That I hope that you're not here to support anybody or to defend your position, no matter what, or to hold to your preconceived ideas, but rather to search for truth. That's me, that's you, that's everybody. And I would never, ever encourage anybody not to come because they agreed with a particular position. This is a Bible study, and this is to search for the truth. And that's absolutely unbelievable. And I tell you what, the answer to his question sheds some light on that point, doesn't it? No, I can't be wrong, he said. Yes, he can. And I asked him Tuesday night, I said, if I prove to you from the Bible that miraculous spiritual gifts, as in the days of the apostles in the first century, if I prove to you from the Bible, I asked him, would he believe it? He shook his head, yes. And I proved it. I proved it. And ladies and gentlemen, we have yet to see any demonstration. We have yet to see any whatsoever manifestation of what he claims to have. I have not challenged him to perform a miracle. I simply stated that if he has what he claimed to have, he would do it. No question about it. God would confirm his words before us, because that, again, was the purpose of New Testament miracles, to confirm the words. All right. Number two. Can I, in my current and natural state of mind, read and understand what the Holy Spirit has revealed in order to be saved? He went to Romans 10, verse 14. Yeah. How can a person call upon the name of the Lord in whom he has not believed? How can he believe without hearing? In fact, if you're going down and read verse 17, it will explain a little bit more for you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how faith comes. Are we willing to examine what the Word of God says? I sure hope so. So when I, in my current and natural state of mind, open my Bible, I read it, and I can understand. I can't understand it. Ephesians 3, verses 3 through 5 tells us that. It tells us that. Number three. Is it possible for one to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ without being brought forth by the Holy Spirit to do so? He said, no. No. Is it possible for one to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ by faith without being brought forth by the Holy Spirit to do so? I'm glad he said that. However, his understanding of it is not correct. John 6:44, he went back to that. We talked about that Monday night too, didn't we? John 6:44. Look at verse 45, ladies and gentlemen. What does it say? What does verse 45 say? And they shall all be taught of God, and those who hear and learn come to me. It's through the gospel of Jesus Christ, through the Word. That's what we're interested in. We want to know what the Scriptures say. Now, yes, it is through the Holy Spirit. No question about that. Here's the bigger question. How? We're going to explain that. I'll tell you what, that's going to come back to bite you today, tonight and tomorrow night. Number four, was every Pharisee and Sadducee in John's audience baptized with the Holy Spirit? I don't know, he said. It's possible, but I don't know. We'll talk about that in a moment. And number five, his understanding was unfruitful, he said. What did the tongue speaker of 1 Corinthians 14:14 have? He said he knew what I wanted him to say. Yes? Yes, he knows what I wanted him to say. The one who spoke by the Spirit in tongues, what does the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, what did he say? Paul had what? What is your verse? What does the passage say? If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my what? Understanding. What did Paul have? Understanding. We can all say it together, but don't say it out loud. Understanding. That's what Paul had. But his understanding was unfruitful. What does that mean, by the way? His understanding was unfruitful. That means his understanding did not profit other people. That's what that means. His understanding did not profit. His understanding, what he had was understanding, but it did not benefit or bring forth fruit. Now, in fact, you can look at verse 16 and it explains it to you. Otherwise, if you're blessed with the Spirit, that's okay, you're praying or singing in a tongue. How will it he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? There is the divine inspired explanation of verse 14. The person who had understanding, he's speaking in tongues, he had understanding, but it was unfruitful. Why? Because the person who was hearing it could not understand what was being said. Look at the next verse, verse 17. For you, indeed, you give thanks well, but the other is not edified. Ladies and gentlemen, that is, his understanding that he had was unfruitful to whom? Others. Isn't that easy? Is that hard? Is that difficult to understand? I don't think so. That's interesting. We'll perhaps even talk about that a little bit more. All right. Let's go back and let's point out a few more things. And let's go to chart number 207, Bruce. 207. I pointed these things out the other night. Ladies and gentlemen, I come to you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. You may not think so, but I'm going to tell you right now, I come to you in the name, by the authority of Jesus Christ, with the Word of God. But I want to ask some important questions as I begin following Mr. Hip's speech tonight. Number one, I want to know, is the Holy Spirit working among all these groups? The Gnostics, the Mormons, the Catholics, the Quakers, the Shakers, Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Scientists, the Worldwide Church of God, and First Pentecostal Church in North Little Rock. What about those? Let me ask you a question. What is it that all these have in common? They all claim to speak in tongues. But they all do so teaching doctrines that are contrary to the Word of God. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit is doing all of that? On what basis do you discredit their claims? What basis do you use to discredit their claims? I'd like to know. What basis do you use to discredit their claim? I'd like to know the answer to that question. Next chart. Chart 208. We pointed this out the other night. Is it possible that today's professed miracles, including tongue speaking and including Holy Spirit, what is supposedly a Holy Spirit baptism, could it be due to misunderstanding of the Scriptures? Could it be due to emotionalism? Could it be emotion-based instead of truth-based? Could it be because of deception? Could it be that there are false teachers out there teaching error on this? Absolutely. What about hypnotism? Can people be deceived? Absolutely. Chart 211. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 9 through 11 says this, God will send them strong delusions if they should believe a lie. Chart 212. There was a certain one in Samaria, wasn't there? Simon the sorcerer. They all gave him great heed because they thought he was the great power of God. Was he? Was he? No. But they could certainly tell the difference when Philip came to town, couldn't they? Because the Lord backed up Philip, backed up his words, confirmed his words, and we were asking for that Monday and Tuesday night. We haven't seen it yet. Maybe we will before the week's over with. But we could certainly tell the difference in reading the Scriptures between the man of God and the man who was practicing these things of himself. Chart 2:13. 2 Corinthians 11:13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. A counterfeit looks a lot like the real thing. A counterfeit, in fact, the more it looks like the real thing, the more believable it is. We need to be aware of counterfeits. And there is such a thing as counterfeits when it comes to religion and miraculous spiritual gifts and allegedly Holy Spirit baptism. And friend, let me suggest something else to you. Blank that for just a second more. Let me say this to you. Instead of saying, okay, let's open our Bible and look at Matthew 3:11 and then pray over that passage and see what that passage means, I'll tell you what let's do instead. Let's study. Let's pray. But let's study what the Bible says about it. Let me tell you, I've been told several times by people who take this position, well, just see if the Lord, pray and see if the Lord will open your understanding to this. The Mormons tell me the same thing when they come to town. When they come into my office, they sit down and they say, you pray over the Book of Mormon and the Lord will show you that it's true. They do the same thing. Let me suggest something to you. Yes, you pray. But I tell you what else you better do. You better study your Bibles to find out whether those things that are taught to you are so or not. That's what the Bereans did. There's the attitude that you need to have. You need to take your Bible. You need to open your Bible. You need to study your Bible to find out whether the things that you're taught are indeed so or not. Study your Bible. That's what we do. That's why you heard those pages ruffling Monday and Tuesday night. And they were rustling, ruffling. They were just going from passage to passage right along with you. They were examining what you say. They examined what I say. And let me say something else about that while I'm here. And I'm going to get on with it. It's been said on his radio program that we brainwash people. Now, let me tell you something. Those of you who go to church at West 65th Street Church of Christ, you know good and well, just like if you were to go to Highway 65 or Fairview Park or Searcy where Tim Norm's at or David Brown and Cabot. Let me tell you something. You're going to hear your preacher say this, every one of you. Open your Bibles and you study. You follow along and you examine what I say to make sure it's in accordance with the book. That's what I say. That's what all these guys say. And that's what you need to say. Don't pray and see what it feels like. Let's examine the Word of God. Let's see what the Scriptures say about it. Chart 5, Bruce. Chart 5. The issue tonight is not, must one be born of water and the Spirit? We heard a lot about that in the first speech. That's not the issue. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. Does the Holy Spirit dwell in Christians today? I believe that too. Does the Holy Spirit guide, strengthen, and comfort Christians today? Absolutely. He does that. Are believers by one Spirit baptized into one body? Yes, they are. The question is, how does He do it? We're going to explain that for you from the Scriptures. The issue is this. Should believers today expect to receive Holy Spirit baptism, evidenced by speaking in tongues, like the apostles did in Acts chapter 2? That is the issue. Chart number 9. Let's be aware of something when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Spirit will not guide men to teach conflicting doctrines. There are so many people out there who claim to have the Holy Spirit. How many of them teach the same thing? How many of them? The Holy Spirit will not lead men to teach conflicting different doctrines. The Holy Spirit will not lead men to teach doctrines contrary to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will not lead men to perform acts contrary to or different from the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33, for God is not the author of confusion but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Next chart, chart 10. Error will contradict error. It sure will. Error will, and we're going to see before this week's over a whole bunch of contradictions from my opponent. Number two, error will contradict truth. And we're going to see that too. And we're going to see that tonight. Number three, truth will not contradict itself. Now you examine what I say in regard to what the truth says and let's see if it harmonizes with the Word of God. That's what we're after tonight. Chart 11. Chart 11. Let's get to studying. Don't have a lot of time left, but let's get after it. You know what? Much of the speech that Mr. Hep had in his first round here tonight, I agree with, because all he did was prove that Holy Spirit baptism was promised, prophesied, and that it occurred. I agree with all that. Amen to all of that. But let's look at these passages a little closer. First of all, Matthew chapter 3, verses 11 and following. Go on to next chart, Bruce. Chart number 12. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around Jordan went out to him. Verse 6. And were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. That's John, of course, that is talking about. Verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as thy father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Now, to whom is John speaking in this context? Same thing is true, by the way, in Mark chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3. To whom is John speaking? He's speaking to the Pharisees and Sadducees that had come to his baptism. That's who. That is the who in the context. It's very important that we establish the who in these passages. Next chart, chart 13. And even now, he says, the axe is laid to the root of the trees, therefore every tree which does not bear fruit, good fruit, is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. The who here is still the Pharisees and Sadducees. He has not, let me get that, Bruce. See, I turned that off before tonight started, and look at it. Yes, I'm sure I want to stop it. Okay. That happens every Friday night, whether I'm in a gospel meeting or wherever. It just comes on. I tried to turn it off. I thought I did, but nevertheless. All right. To whom is he speaking? The who is still the who, including the Pharisees and Sadducees. All right? Chart 15. Jesus here is speaking about the baptizer. He's not dealing with the recipients here. He is not specifying the recipients here. He is emphasizing and specifying the administrator here. And that's all you can get out of this passage. Yes, he will baptize with the Holy Spirit. But he did not. He did not baptize all those Pharisees and Sadducees. In fact, they argued with him time and time and time and time and time again. Those baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire, not specified in any of these passages. Not all who came to John were baptized in the Holy Spirit. These passages specify the administrator, not the recipients. All right? Chart 19. The who. In fact, I'll tell you what. Let's skip on to chart 28, Bruce. Chart 28. Mr. Hepp went to this passage, Acts 1, 26 through chapter 2, verse 14. And they cast their lots. And the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. You know, Jesus' promise was indeed fulfilled. Jesus made a promise to the apostles. I'll tell you what. Let's go back to chart. Let's see. It should be about chart 26, 25. Go to chart 25. Chart 25. And being assembled together, Acts 1, verses 2 through 5, until the day in which he was taken up after he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to whom? The apostles, whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them. Who's of them there? The apostles. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. There's the promise Mr. Hepp talked about, which he said, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized you with water, but you, who? The apostles. You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. That's who he's talking to. Now, that goes back to Luke 24. Mr. Hepp brought that passage up. In fact, notice this. Verse 49 says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Now, go ahead and click it one more time there, Bruce. Let's see this. The promise of the Father was to whom? The apostles. You wait. Now, notice something else. Go ahead and click it again, Bruce. Who is talked to here? The you. Who's the you? The apostles. That's who of the passage. That's who received the promise of Holy Spirit baptism. Now, that's as far as you can go with that. You cannot take that promise that was given to the apostles and extrapolate it and give it to somebody else. You can't do that. Okay, next chart. Ladies and gentlemen, the apostles were given the promise. That's all there is to it. How much time do I have, Mason? 2 minutes. All right. Chart 28. Now we see that they received that promise in Acts chapter 1, verses 26 through chapter 2 and verse 14. You have the 11 apostles mentioned in verse 26. The antecedents must always refer to the previous noun in the text. And that's what we see here. The 11 apostles, they are the people of verse 26. Now in chapter 2 in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they, who's the they there? The 11 apostles. We're all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they, who's the they there? That's the apostles, where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them, who's the them there? That's the apostles. Divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. Who's the them? That's the apostles. And they, who's that? That's the apostles, were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's what happened. They received the promise. Now, can we take a promise given to them and take it to ourselves? We can't do that. We'll talk about it in just a minute. I want to get into Acts chapter 2 and verses 14 through 21, as well as chapter 2 and verse 38 and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to then follow on right down the line what Mr. Hepp said in his first speech and try to cover all these things. We needed to get some other things said and get those things out there. And I look forward to hearing from Mr. Hepp in his next speech and hope that we can continue to work together and search for the truth together in a way that is congenial for that process. Thank you very much for being so patient and listening so carefully.